It's that time. It's time to thank the ice cream truck drivers. These are the folks that deliver that fucking ice cream straight to your fucking ear holes. We don't have a new list yet, but I'd like to thank each and every ice cream truck driver, and we will thank each and every ice cream truck driver by name at this part of the show during this month of shows. If you want to be an ice cream truck driver, PreachingFun.com is where you can go to sign up. PreachingFun.com. Go sign up to be an ice cream truck driver. And besides, who knows? The life you save may be your own. And now, a program.
Hey, Johnny. Do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great. Let's go.
We got a no Matt Donnelly show today.
Yep. Fuck that
guy. Well, all you fuckers out there who hate Matt Donnelly, this is your show.
He immigrated to France. I'm afraid we have to let you know that he is now abroad and he's out there on the wall.
It's time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me in Pittsburgh, that's Paul Mattingly. I'm Jacob the Audio Guy sitting here in Vegas. Hey, we're preaching fun. Paul,
yes.
You brought a friend to the show today.
I did, because Matt's not here. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the microphone my friend, improviser, raconteur, wrestling announcer, podcast host, Mr. Nug Nargang.
Oh, hi, everybody. How are you? I'm fine.
Good to have you, buddy.
Hey, happy to be here, guys. ICS is a longtime favorite of mine. I remember going out to that Scoop Fest in Vegas. And
yes,
boy, I know there's one coming up. People who are listening, if you haven't been to a Scoop Fest, by God, go to a Scoop Fest.
Scoopfest.com. If I don't break out into hives before Scoop Fest, it'll be a miracle.
Mm-hmm. It's getting down to the wire, but things are lining up quite well from what I can tell.
Things are lining up fine. You know, I've just got all these little piddly, shitty little things, detail things to figure out still.
It's a laundry list of stuff to do, yeah.
And of course, I've got two different people, at least right now, that I'm trying to get to email or call me back about equipment that we need for Scoop Fest, and they won't fucking get... Like, one company just won't take my money. That's all I'm trying to do is spend thousands of dollars with their company.
You would think that company would want you to take your money.
Yeah. They just won't text me back. They won't call me back. They won't do anything. I've texted, I've called, I've emailed, I've done all the things. And they just ignore me completely. When I get them, they're like, "Oh yeah, we'll get to that today. I'll call you back in like 30 minutes."
And they don't.
And then 4 days later I call them back. I go, "Any progress?" And I'm trying not to be a bother, but at the same time I'm like, "I'm about to be a bother."
Well, maybe you need to go to another company, right?
Well, that's the problem.
There isn't one.
There's only certain companies that sell certain things, and then one of the companies is the Orleans, and I'm trying to get them to get back to me with equipment that we can rent from them.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's a whole thing.
We got to stay in their good graces. Well, I'll tell you, being out in Pittsburgh, I don't know if it's just Vegas and Pittsburgh, but I don't know, Nug, if you've experienced this as well. But since Ann and I have moved into this new house and we've had to have people come and do work on the house,
yeah,
it is impossible to get contractors or handymen to get back to you or to even anything. Like, it's just they ghost you completely.
I found we needed some work done here, and I found that we called a bunch of people and it was only if our repair was worth more than another repair they already had on the list, then they'd get back to you. Like,
that's how it goes.
The hole in my wall is not as expensive as somebody's whole half of their house that needs to be fixed. So they'll concentrate on that and then get to your piddly little project at some point.
That makes sense. That might be what's going on here. I don't know if I told you guys, I found an electrician out here.
Okay.
And, he came out and did some good work for us, fixing a fixture over our kitchen sink.
Okay.
LED fixture that had gone out. So we got a new one and he put it in perfect, right? Like, that's not anything Ann and I want to mess with. We don't know from electricity. So I was like, great. I've got an electrician. Called him again. And, he came out to do an external light for out on the porch, and we got a motion sensor LED for the porch. He put it up. It's working great. He's getting it up there. He's finishing the job. He's sealing it with this nice sealant to abut against the house so that rainwater doesn't get in there and everything. You know, he did a fine job.
He's caulking the joint.
Yes, with a certain kind of caulk. It's a special kind of stuff. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
No, last night I was caulking the joint. It was a good time had by all.
Yeah. Everybody, they love that. Anyway, he's on this little stepladder and he's finishing this thing. He's almost done with the job, and his phone rings, and his ringer pops off, and his ringer is the fucking Nazi rally song. From the Leni Riefenstahl films.
Paul, did you use Red Hat Electricians? Is that the name of the company?
I did not. I did not. I'm not going to put them on blast. I'm not going to say the name. I'll say this. The name of the company he created, I thought, was just simply an allusion to Metallica.
Uh-oh.
It could be otherwise interpreted, I see.
Okay.
And I was just like, well, I can never hire you again.
Yeah.
Nope.
Master of white puppets.
I can't. Yeah, I mean, you called it on the first one, Jacob. Called it on the first one.
I'll call him out.
Good guess,
Master
buddy.
Of white puppets, electricians.
But I was just like, fuck. It's that.
Oh, that one.
You know, and I'm like, what? I'm sitting there having Wolfenstein flashbacks.
That's good. I have a drop now of Paul doing that song.
Well, yeah, like the
that's
doing
what I mean.
It like the Swedish Chef.
close
but,
enough.
But what the fuck?
You can't use
it was
anymore.
Really. I know. I was really terrified.
No, they're out.
I was like, oh, shit. Holy shit.
You can't have them back in your house.
No.
Now you got to uncock that joint and see what he put in there, just in case there's something in it.
Oh, I'm...
What do you think might be in there, Nug?
Memorabilia, possibly
memorabilia.
Stolen Nazi gold. There could be all sorts of stuff.
You
in
think
there.
Like some stolen art might be in there?
Tiny artwork,
you
very tiny
artwork.
Da Vinci. Yeah, a tiny stolen Da Vinci might be in Paul's exterior wall now.
Now I'm worried he was working on some other electric projects around the house. I gotta double check those lampshades he put in.
Hey now.
Oh yeah.
Yikes.
Yep.
what a bastard. Oh, anyway. No.
You should just call him up and ask him if there's anybody he doesn't like, and then you know that they're good.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I did. I had asked him for recommendations on some other local. I didn't get any decent recommendations from him, and that's probably because he's probably burned every bridge with every fucking.
Yeah.
Like I don't work with that guy.
Burned every bridge. Burned every cross. You know, covered all of his bases.
Next time chamber. You book him, try and book him for January 6th and see if he's busy.
Yeah.
I think 420 would be the more, or 419, what is
419.
It?
419,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Yuck. But
no,
I just,
thanks.
You know, if Hitler had hired me to do the wiring, the Reichstag wouldn't have burned down.
Yeah.
It was an electrical fire. People don't talk about that often enough.
He had some great ideas about electricity.
Please, let's get off of this subject. No, you brought a game.
The lights came on time. All right, so...
Jacob said I've come with a game. I have a new podcast called $1 Words where I do an interview with somebody, and Paul was nice enough to be one of my guests in an upcoming episode.
Yes.
And in it, both myself and our guests get five random words from a random word generator.
Okay.
And different words. It depends what the generator comes up for every person. But during the interview, if you get me to say any of the words on your list, you'll get $1 for every word that I say, but if I get you to say any of the words on my list, I get $1 back for every word. So when I do one-on-one
Canadian
interviews,
Canadian dollar or U.S. dollar?
I'll take either. Canadian's not worth much for you guys, so I'll go U.S. dollars for you guys for sure. But what's fun is I've only ever had one 5-0 blank so far where I crush somebody 5-0. But many of the interviews are like 4-2, 4-3, 2-1.
Right.
Sometimes nothing. But it's always fun because everybody, even me, gets in your head about, oh, is he asking this question because he genuinely gives a shit about the answer, or is he asking this to make me say something on his list? So I've had people get super paranoid. I've had people forget there was a game at all, which has been the most fun because we're just talking about whatever. So I thought, let's all go to the random word generator. Let's all get our own list of 5 words. And we can tell the audience at home what our words are. And then we'll just go on with today's podcast, however you like. And by the end of it, when you decide time's up, we'll figure out who said however many words. And because there's 3 of us, if on your list, any of the other 2 people say the word, that's $1 for that word. So if Jacob gets Paul and I to say the same word, that's $2 for Jacob.
I love it.
All right.
Okay. So how do we do this? We just
go to the random take our word headphones generator. Off. We'll take our headphones off so that so Jacob, you go first. Paul and I will take our headphones off so we can't hear what your words are. You let us know when you're done.
And I'll give you guys a thumbs up on video whenever
absolutely.
I'm done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so headphones off. All right, audience. So my words are explode, walk, ballet, conservation, and cycle. All right, put your headphones back on. Oh, neither of them get the camera.
All right, I'll go. My words are hiccup, debut, braid, snap, and face.
Okay. And let me do mine now.
Good.
My list is...
All right.
Hi there.
And here comes Nugs.
My words on my list are blade, bulb, genuine, kill, and barrier. All right, we're good to go.
All right.
Okay.
We've got words. I have to write my words down so I can see them when I'm not looking at that screen because I'm good at this.
Right. It's key.
Yeah, you got to keep a little list beside it.
So, Paul, you and I got to do this podcast not too long ago, and I had sent you to go see some. I know you're laid up awaiting your surgery.
I am.
But my friends at Arcade Theater just did their Oscars improv show somebody wore a swan dress, like a Bjork dress for whole show, which I thought was pretty awesome. I've seen the pictures online.
That's a bold choice, and they performed in that,
and I thought, this is Paul's gang. If Paul needs a group of people, someone who's willing to go the whole length of the show wearing a Bjork swan dress might be part of Paul's company.
That sounds like my level of commitment for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check them out when I get healed up, for sure.
Was the swan dress, I don't remember, was the swan dress part of a reference to something? Or wait, was that even an Oscar dress?
I assume so, based on it being an Oscar show for these guys. They're pretty, like, on their theme, pretty tight on it. But
Was it when she got nominated for Dancer in the Dark?
It probably was. I would say that's probably what she wore. Well, knowing Bjork,
she'd Dancer in the Dark was in consideration.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was like a black swan thing or something.
No, that was just a random, like, it wasn't in connection with anything. She just wore this, like, she was nominated for Dancer in the Dark, but she just wore this dress that looked like a giant stuffed swan.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure that I knew that at some point, but somehow my brain has put that and black swan together.
Oh, absolutely.
So that just lives together in my mind now.
Something I've always thought about Bjork and seeing the pictures of that reminded me that she doesn't come across like Lady Gaga. Seems very calculated, like, I'm going to do this thing and it will be seen. But Bjork comes across as somebody who just honestly goes, I'm going to wear a swan dress.
Yeah,
I've got this swan dress.
Or this is what I want to do. This
six
is my
months.
In my heart of hearts. I want to do this today.
She is like the epitome of earnest. You ever see her? Ernest doesn't go to camp. Camp is very different from Ernest.
Oh.
You'll find. Yeah. I wonder, was he intentionally calling the movie Ernest Goes to Camp?
You think he was making a comment on the genre?
Maybe.
now we're going deep. This is conspiracy theory time.
Ernest Goes to Camp. That's a great title for an album. No, she did
Camp
this wonderful.
Goes to Ernest.
She did this wonderful. At this point, yes, it's all turning on its head. She did this wonderful interview where she talked about television, and she's just so funny. It's very young Bjork, and she's like, "I was always scared of my television. I never knew what was happening. I saw this box that you show me pictures, and I was worried that the pictures would get into my brain, and I thought I better know what is happening, so I took apart my television." And so she has ripped open this old CRT.
What?
And,
okay.
And she's like checking out the guts of the TV. She's like, "Look here, you can see all of the pieces that make up the television, and this all the grid here on this this grid, it kind of looks like a tiny city with little buildings. The circuit boards are like the street where the electricity would be, like people and the cars in the television, and became less scary for me."
Yeah, you tear open like, your TV, you're not going to be scared of it anymore. There's no monsters
it's like
inside.
It's like a tiny city.
That's amazing.
Wait, why did she do this?
Because she wanted to know what was, she didn't understand what the television was, and she wanted to figure out how it worked.
Yeah. She was just trying to
It's like when you take apart a ballpoint pen when you're a kid, you know? Like, oh, how does the ballpoint pen work? Yeah. But she took apart a television.
She was just working demystify technology.
Yeah. I mean, I used to take everything apart. When I was a kid, I would take everything apart. I'd take, like, clocks apart and everything. I got really good at putting everything back together. But I never looked at a piece of electronics and thought, oh, I can figure out exactly like how this works by taking it apart.
No, I don't think she figured out how it works. I think she opened it up to see the poetry inside.
Okay, that makes more sense.
That makes more sense for Bjork.
That's why
it does.
She 100% comes across as somebody who desperately needs media training.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are some things
you don't have
to say every single thing that comes to your mind, Bjork.
No, I love it. I love her. I love how camp goes to Ernest. I love how her camp goes to Ernest.
She's the real deal.
She's the real deal. She is the real deal, man.
Oh, yeah. Nobody looks at Bjork and goes, eh, inauthentic.
Yeah, nobody goes, that girl's faking it.
Yeah.
Not at all.
We all just look at Bjork and go like, yep, that's Bjork.
Yeah, she's a true artist, which is rare.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Do you think she ever makes art, knowing that it's going to be garbage, but people will go, "It's from Bjork, so it's going to be something"?
I don't. Think so. I think she might make some bold choices into as far as her wardrobe.
This is true,
and not necessarily being worried about whether or not people like it. I'm sure that's it. But as far as the music goes, I don't think she's ever tried to make music that she thought, well, people are going to hate this. You know?
No, I wouldn't. I bet she doesn't think, oh, people are going to hate this. But now we're going to get real meta now. Let's just go down the rabbit hole now.
Okay.
My bet is that at some point she has made some kind of music, listened to it back, and went like, man, this is real fucking weird, even for me. But you know what? Bjork fans, my Bjork fans, whatever Bjork calls her fans, you know, my Bjork scoops are going to love this. There's going to be a group that love this so much.
I don't know, man.
I bet that thought has gone through her head.
I don't think so. Her stuff is diverse enough. I don't think she's ever written anything that she's like, well, this is a little outside of my box. This is a little beyond my wheelhouse.
What's outside of Bjork's box, to be honest?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Say, walk, don't run. Come see this.
She's made all kind of crazy stuff.
But yeah, so because they did their Oscar show, and I was talking about or seeing the pictures of that. I don't usually watch the Oscars, but I watched it this year. And there were people winning Oscars this year that were so – they've been around for a long time. And so when Robert Downey Jr. wins his award, I'm like, hey, that's the guy from Weird Science won an Oscar. Like, I just couldn't stop referencing all the other things that either I knew they did or that they're going to do. When they had all the best actor winners announcing, like, here's Brendan Fraser was up there, and I was like, hey, there's Encino Man. Like, I just couldn't stop doing it.
Was it true that Robert Downey Jr. was the first SNL cast member to ever win an Oscar?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Because I think if in my brain, Spinal Tap won something. And so but that's Rob Reiner who directed it. And I don't think any of them acting in it won an award. And I don't know if Rob was attached.
But Harry Shearer has been in other. I think you're right. Like, didn't Punch Drunk Love win something?
Yeah, but I don't think he did.
Yeah, films have won.
But the coolest thing I saw was somebody put up the poster.
I mean, obviously, Coneheads cleaned up at the Oscars 100%. One year, but, you know, we all know that.
But someone put up the poster for the old movie Soap Dish.
Okay.
And said, now, as of the Oscars, everyone who's named on the poster for Soap Dish has won an Oscar. And it's Sally Field, Kevin Kline, Whoopi Goldberg, Robert Downey Jr. Like, it's this
holy shit
weird cast of people in this movie, Soap Dish. And that's everybody's now won an Oscar.
You're right. Soap Dish is an EGOT. Everybody got an Oscar.
Everybody got an Oscar. Ego.
Ego. Yeah.
But I couldn't help thinking that because these actors have been around so long and upcoming projects, like the guy on the guy in the end from Moonlight, he's in a Marvel thing coming up.
Oh,
okay.
And so I was like, oh, he's in a Marvel thing. And I was like, I couldn't remember which one it was, but my brain was like, he's going to be he's going to be a superhero and he has an Oscar.
He's going to be Blade, right?
Oh, is that it?
I think.
Oh, I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
I think he's Blade.
We can't call Wesley Snipes back for that one.
Come on, Wesley.
No.
Is he still dodging the tax? Is he still dodging the tax collectors?
No, he went to jail for that shit. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all done.
Good for him. Bring him back.
Awful.
If you go to jail for the tax thing, do you still owe the tax money when you get out?
Oh, this is interesting.
Not. Yeah.
I would hope not.
Is your debt paid?
Your debt's
that's
paid
what they always
society,
say. Your debt's
but
paid
is it
to
paid
society,
right?
But is it paid?
Do they mean that literally? When they say your debt has been paid to society, do they mean that literally?
It would at least have to be mitigated, so because you couldn't get put in jail again for it, right?
And also, when you're in jail, you can't do anything to pay the money back.
No, because we're learning
right
now. You can
stamp license plates for, you know, like a dollar and a half an hour or something.
If you're lucky, you get a dollar. We are learning just how bad the whole slave labor in prison thing is right now in this country. It's really bad.
Yeah, we're just now learning about that, Paul. You're right.
Well,
just now.
Some of us.
Everyone is just now noticing.
Some of us are just now noticing. No, but there is a movement to have like a very large protest coming up soon.
Oh, really?
Within the prison system. Yeah.
To increase enslaved labor?
Yes. The prisoners are like, we need more work. No. The prisoners
are not busy enough.
Yeah. The prisoners
give me something to do.
They're going to stop. They're going to stop their labor. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On the Oscars, too, we loved we loved John Cena coming out naked.
Sure.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw pictures of him.
The funniest bit was, for me, like...
I saw that bit,
He doesn't want to come out. He doesn't want to do this dumb bit. And then Jimmy hands him the envelope and says he has to go. So he shimmies over with this giant envelope across his crotch.
Yeah.
Which made me go, oh, I wonder why the envelopes were so big all night. And now I'm like, that's why. It was all just for that joke.
Just for that gag. Bit.
So you're then right. He comes over and the first word out of his mouth is... costumes, like he's gonna just could deliver the speech on the teleprompter, and the audience collapses. And my wife was like, "When did John Cena get so funny?" And I was like, "Been funny a long time.
He's funny.
Just needed the right audience." And other people online are saying it's a initiation for the dark Hollywood cabal to embarrass yourself in front of everyone.
I have seen this. That is part of the whole thing. Yeah, he's going into another strata of fame. That's
really
certain.
Is.
I'm playing with him as Peacemaker in my Mortal Kombat 1 game all the time. Very fun character. And the mocap that they did on him and the facial, goodness sakes, it's John. You're playing as John Cena.
That's awesome.
It's a crazy, creepy, almost the verisimilitude of it is unsettling.
Is it Ricky Stenicki? Is that
yes,
the name
I haven't
of his
seen
new movie?
That one yet.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet, but I've just heard great, great things about it.
Really? All right. Well, I'll have to check it out.
Like the two people I've talked to that have seen it loved it.
All right.
How does Peacemaker murder people in that Mortal Kombat game?
So you've seen the show.
I've seen a few episodes of the show.
So you remember the little critters? Spoilers for Peacemaker. The critters that are inside people, the little moth-looking butterfly critters.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So once you pull off his fatality, whoever you're fighting against spits up one of the little critters.
Okay.
And Peacemaker goes, "What the fuck?" And he takes his gun and he starts shooting at the critter, trying to get the critter, but he's inadvertently taking apart the person that's in front of him. Missing the critter and just blast the person to pieces. And then the critter lands on his gun and he grabs it and goes, "You little shit," squishes it and kills it. It's a fucking fatality.
Job well done with no side effects.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He gets the critter and he has obliterated the person he was fighting.
He's shoving hand grenades into the mouth of the person trying to get the little butterfly thing.
That's Smoke's fatality.
Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. I don't want any gimmick infringement on Smoke.
Yeah, I didn't mean to step on your toes there, Smoke.
Sorry, Smoke. Is there anyone else in that? You said Peacemaker. Are there other non-Mortal Kombat characters in that game?
Yes, there are a few. Homelander is coming.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to be something else to see. Currently,
who's Homelander?
Homelander is the bad guy from The Boys.
Oh, he's that guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Amazon show. Yes.
So he's going to be in it.
I watched a few episodes of that and really liked it. And for some reason stopped watching it.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I know a guy who has the same ringtone as him.
Puts up a good light though. Puts up a good light.
Oh, absolutely. There's a classic electrician joke about how many of these particular electricians it would take to, we could improvise. How many of Paul's electricians?
This is easy.
Yeah, no, go, go, exactly. Give it to
go,
it.
Go, Paul. Yeah, go,
go.
How many of electricians? Huh? Oh, you're going to ask me? Tell you. Go ahead, ask me.
No, you ask me.
How many of my electricians would it take to put up the light bulb?
9.
That's right.
That's perfect. Yay, we did it.
Right. That's the entire bit.
We did it.
Do you guys remember any of Bjork's album titles?
Oh, my God. Some of them are like, I want to say some are one word, and then some are like 400 words.
Yeah. Well, she had Vespertine, which is where I stopped after Vespertine.
Paul, I know Vespertine's on your list of secret words, and you're not going to make me say Vespertine.
No, I can't say my secret word.
He said it
word twice.
Oh, no!
I can't say I see a Vespertine. The random generator gave me Vespertine.
Paul had said on expert.
I got inside the computer and I made it say Vespertine. It was lovely. I was so surprised.
Is this the debut of Paul's Bjork?
I don't think so. I think I've done it once before.
You gotta package it. Sell it. This is gold.
I will do the Bjork all the time.
That's the real deal right there. Paul sounds like Bjork.
She's a wonderful creature, and she's so smart. I was married to Goldie. Am I still married to Goldie? The DJ
Who?
Man? Goldie, the DJ man.
I don't know who it is, but I love that Bjork was married to someone named Goldie.
Yeah, she's married to Goldie.
That's fantastic.
Or at least they were very serious. I don't know if they were. He was one of the guys rocking those grills before everybody was rocking grills.
He was ahead of the curve.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had gold teeth.
Is that how he got his nickname, you think?
I think so.
Oh. Yeah. Paul, I'm bringing it into you. What is Bjork's fatality?
Oh, man, what would her fatality be?
I think the swan dress comes alive.
100%.
I think it would be the scream in the, what's that? What's her song with the, you hit the thing, bing, boom, shout, you yell, bing, boom.
You're going to make me look it up.
I can't remember the title, but.
Isn't it just called Bang Bang?
When she yells, no, it's not. Not called Bang Bang.
It is called.
Well, I don't know.
When you fall in love.
Oh, so quiet.
Oh, so quiet. That's it.
Oh.
Yeah. It would be her going from the whisper to scream, and then they'd explode. Yeah.
Is that enough?
Oh, that's a Bjork song?
Is that enough
song?
To end a life?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, Jacob. She's all over the map with styles. She's very diverse.
I don't think I knew that was a Bjork song.
Oh, yeah. That's one of her
I've definitely
hits.
Heard that song.
I think that's in one of the mixes in the old Green Fairy Garden.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Not that I put those mixes together. I just implement them.
Jacob, I was thinking of you because I came with my phone. I have my playlists, but I don't really have them on my phone. I have them on my computer, on my Apple Music. And then the other day, sure. I clicked onto my playlist in the house, and it was like, oh, here are all the playlists that you don't have on your phone. And one of them is like the pre-show mix for a show I did in 2012. And I was like, why do I have this? But I was like, oh, yep. I'll revisit that pre-show. I imagine you just keep them all.
Yeah. No, I have so many, like, stupid little playlists that I've had to put together for different things. I cannot just turn my phone on and listen to, you know, a mix of music because it'll just make me crazy.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Do you have your own personal playlist?
What's that?
Don't you have your own personal playlist?
Yeah, you know, I have like personal playlists and I have playlists that I can turn on, but I can't just
just random all your music.
Exactly.
No, I can't either. Yeah.
But do you keep those playlists from your shows? Like, just in case that show is like, oh, it'll like that show that I did in 2012. I don't think it's going to run again. But should they decide to, we have the pre-show.
Oh, Doug, not why I keep it.
Oh, okay.
I have CDs from like 2009.
Yeah.
That I brought into the theater for mixed pre-show stuff. Yeah. I have tons of CDs.
I have all that kind of stuff. No, I keep them because like, I go like, oh, I might need a walk-in music playlist for another thing that'll be similar enough to this. I'll be able to just throw this on.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those came on. I think it was the pre-show for the version of Cannibal, the musical we did up here in Toronto, and it was all bluegrass covers of 80s metal.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
And I was like, I heard it was like, I haven't heard this song since, oh no, Cannibal. And then all the memories just flooded into my head.
I got a couple songs like that. The Rubber Band song. They used that in our Second City pre-show before we would take the stage. It was like the song right before we would go on stage. It was always out because it was, you know, it was just a playlist that would just go, and it just happened to be the one that hit right about time for showtime. Yeah. Anytime I hear Rubber Band Man, I get kind of.
You get that tense, like, I'm going out.
Yes. You get a fuck. Show.
Yeah. The feeling, the memories and the feelings come back. I thought that too.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like activating an energy in you.
Yes.
A long dormant energy, not seen for decades.
Yes, it really does. It's like, ooh.
That's how we describe Paul as well.
That one. And the same with Listomania. That was one that we used for our improv, for our fully improvised shows on the boat for one time.
Well, that was because of Mick, because Napier was a big fan of that band. He loved Jukebox the Ghost.
Yes. Yeah. So that was a fun song. You guys are both wrestling guys.
Yes,
we are.
And I saw on the news that one of my favorite childhood wrestlers has retired. Which was news to me because I assumed he would have retired 20 years ago.
Oh.
That is Sting.
Yes.
The man called Sting.
Now, no shade to anybody. Sting probably could have retired 20 years ago, and I don't think anybody would have been sad about it. But that he had kept wrestling and kept active this long and is so well respected to have like such a big send off. It was a big deal.
This guy was in his like mid 50s, huh? and was still doing it.
60.
60s?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The last time they were here in Toronto and he wrestled, he went like off a ladder through a table, and all of us in the building went, "Oh, Sting has died."
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, I thought for sure
I saw
he
a clip of his retirement match, and he's going through glass and shit.
He went through a lot of glass.
Yeah. That other kid, that Darby Allin, right off a ladder, straight through some glass, and it was nuts.
Darby Allin.
Holy shit.
He's got a death wish, that guy.
Yeah. I see stuff all the time. I commentate for a wrestling league up here, and we needed another mm-hmm. commentator, and I called in one of my improv friends, and he said, what do I do? He's a wrestling fan. And I go, I'll be the play-by-play. You're going to be the color guy. I'll be the babyface. You be the heel. He goes, well, what do I do for commentary? And I go, all the bad guys are awesome and the good guys are dumb. The end. Like, that's all you do.
Easy. Yeah.
So we're great. Doing this show. It was his first show, and it's a four-way match with a ladder. And our champion goes off the ladder with a chair to Rob Van Dam kick a chair somebody in the face. And when he lands, he dislocates his ankle right in front of us.
Oh!
And we are on live commentary over the internet on Triller TV. It used to be Fight. Yeah. So we're on Triller. And I said to him, how much fun was that? Because your natural reaction, you can't do it on commentary. You can't go, sure. You have to go, oh, that looks like it hurts. He'll powder out to the outside of the ring for sure and take some time to. But then our champ's out there with his dangling foot, jamming it into the floor to try and put it back into place so he could finish the match. Oh, and I'm just God. Like, and I'm going to pull off my headset and go, just go home. Just stop. Go to the hospital.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just have to go, oh, that looked like it hurt. Rub and some now dirt this on over it. Here. Like, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought about that. That's got to be something that just happens all the time. Those announcers are just like, this has gone wrong. Can't talk about that.
No, and at least in WWE, they have cameramen that have been doing it for so long and directors in the back that can go, cut away. No one look at that. Someone's broken their leg at ringside. Everybody go look over here. And the bad guy's in the ring or whoever's in the ring going, I'm the best. And you can all focus on him while the doctors are down here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But on our show, there are cameramen who just showed up today and don't know how to use a camera. So, of course, they're like, cool, get a load of this ankle.
Yeah, look at the broken ankle. Yeah.
Fuck.
Uh-huh. And you don't have earpieces on everybody, so you can't just scream at them. Well, just quit pointing the camera at the broken ankle.
And not only that, but everybody on that part of the ringside in the audience sees it, and they're like poking their head through the fence, like, what's going on with his leg? Like, they are right on top of it. And it's not like we paid for a doctor. So, like, he's just there with a dislocated ankle.
Then now wait.
Trying to deal with it.
Is this a Canadian thing? You don't have to have EMTs on staff or anything or anybody?
I will say that for a lot of the indie wrestling I've gone to, they just happen to not have them.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you required to have them in other places, Paul?
It depends on the I know in the States, it depends on the state if they need a doctor present.
Okay.
That's the big thing. It depends on the state. I mean, for all the, Jacob, for all your wrestling's not a sport talk, it is still regulated very heavily by the sports.
I mean, it's still athletic and it's a thing. Yeah.
That's what I mean. The athletic commissions, that's why you have to register. Like you had to register who was your referee, who was your announcer.
Refs had to get licenses.
Licenses for who's the timekeeper? Timekeeper's going to factor in any rational way. I mean, back in the day, it was a thing.
Who has the license?
They did use it
people?
A lot. The state
commission,
the state athletic commission. If you didn't do it right, you know, and you had to line their pockets and all that kind of stuff.
The timekeepers, like now the refs have headsets, which are connected to the back. So now they can go, I just heard from the back, wrap it up. Like, take it home. You got 2 minutes to wrap this up.
Okay.
But back in the day when they had 2 minutes, the refs didn't know. And the only person who knew was the timekeeper. And the timekeeper was sitting at ringside and they had a pencil. And then when it was time to go home, the referee would tell them when he saw the timekeeper put a pencil behind his ear.
No.
That was the signal for the ref to go 2 minutes.
There's all kinds of little secret signals and all kinds of stuff. But then, you know, I've been listening to a lot of the Jim Cornette podcast, and he's talking the old school days, and he has some good points on, especially some of the matches today could very much benefit from when I was a kid watching wrestling. It would get to be a point where they go, oh, there's only 2 minutes left. What's going to happen? And if they're going to a fall.
Oh, because they'd have like a timed match.
Yeah. If they say this goes 10 minutes. This is a 10 minute match or whatever.
And you could use that as an out so that neither party has to take the L, and then you're building to the next confrontation between the two of them in a more pay-per-view type setting or a bigger match or what have you, instead of making it so that one person has to quote-unquote lose. Because when I was a kid, you'd see it all the time.
Oh, time limit draws? They've had a couple on AEW lately, but those are the first I've seen in like 15 years.
Well, because they're listening to Jim Cornette.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's straight up bringing it up, and so he somebody would get a pin and they'd roll him up and it'd be 1, 2, time, and they wouldn't be able.
No.
Yeah, and that's how they do it.
And
they'd
you can
get
hear
on
the audience because an audience. Keith Johnstone, the improv guru from Calgary, would say, in comedy, in wrestling, people have paid to see a match where someone wins and someone loses. And in comedy, an audience is paid for you to improvise to make them laugh. So in that respect, they're the same. The audience is paid for a result. And in wrestling, right, there is nothing worse than an audience who has paid money to see somebody win, somebody lose, to see a tie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It sucks. Mm-hmm. It gets story across. Nobody looks bad, but also the crowd's like, you can just hear them.
Yeah.
Right.
But it has its place.
It does.
It has its place, but but like any of this stuff, you can't overdo it.
No. And they've done it like two or three times in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Of course. And when you watch, that's how they do, man.
Yeah.
It's like watching that last match with Sting and it's glass, 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 glass.
It's too much.
It becomes like, whoop-de-doo. The glass was going into people's faces in the audience.
Yeah, don't forget there was the big sign on the screen that I saw. Big sign on the screen you're buying your ticket waves us of any problems. Meanwhile, there's people with glass in their popcorn.
Jeez. It is candy glass, but still.
Oh.
It's still not safe.
It wasn't. Are you telling me it wasn't real glass?
Cry me a river.
Let's not bring up Russia now.
Oh yeah.
So Nug, when you're calling your stuff, do you refer to them as good guys or bad guys, or did you tell what did you say to your buddy?
So we don't say good guys or bad guys or anything like that, and especially because I'm on commentary, but I'm also the general manager for the company. So if something needs to be done, I have to. And on our home turf, on our home arena, the entrance is on the opposite side of the arena, and I'm over here, and the only way for me to get there is like, oh, pardon me, everyone on commentary, I have to go, and I have to walk around the entire arena to get back over to the entrance to come out and do something, and walk all the way back. I'd love to be able to just jump down.
Right.
But because I'm the general manager, and I'm babyface general manager on commentary, mm-hmm. I not only love everybody, I booked them. So I may not approve of their methods, but they are great athletes, and that's why they're here at our company. And then our bad guy commentator, Anthony, he's just like, some guy cheats. He's like, he's doing it smart. That's my guy. So like, he just celebrates all the shitty things they do.
Now, are you kayfabe booking these guys, or is that real?
I am not kayfabe booking these guys. Only one time I was asked by the guy who books the show. He's the guy who runs the company. He asked me who I'd book, like for a show, who would you book if you wanted to bring in somebody? And I sent him a picture of what they call the golden era of WWE, the new generation, like that part right before the Attitude Era where everybody had a second job. And
that was a dark time.
I was like, anybody in this picture. And then he booked Savio Vega for our next show. So I was in heaven. Like, I was like, Puerto Rico's own. Like, I was so excited to have Savio Vega there.
Hilarious. That's nice.
Yeah, it's great.
That's nice. That's fun that those guys are still doing it.
When you say that era, is that when everybody had a job? Is that when there was like the trash man and people like that would come out? Okay.
Yeah. Trash man, but also, there was a prisoner, there was a prison guard, there was an undertaker, there was a repo man, there was a clown.
The prisoner, Nails.
Nails.
Nails has, his story has really taken a turn now.
Yeah.
Because if you're not familiar, Jacob, the guy who played Nails came out with some serious sexual allegations against McMahon. Back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's been pretty much vindicated by this point.
I was going to say, was he the first one to say that shit?
One of the first big whistleblowers.
One of the first to which prominent. Everybody went, get out of here. And now all this has come out and they're like, maybe you never thought you'd say it in your life, but we should have listened to Nails.
Yep.
And was he saying it on behalf of other victims? Or he was saying it on behalf of himself?
He had been victimized, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think McMahon's got a little bit of a P. Diddy situation going on there, too, with all his the mess he was getting into.
Well, McMahon had enough.
Peeing on who now?
He had enough money to. Yeah. McMahon always had enough money to just make sure all these stories went away.
Yeah,
yeah.
Reminds me of every politician that we have.
Sir, this really has come gross. Out about you, Mr. McMahon. There's a story coming out about you about serious sexual allegations. Oh, that can't be. Which lady is it? Nails.
Well, let's put him back in jail.
Storyline wise, just write him off.
Yep. Nobody will believe Nails. He's a criminal. TV. He's a criminal. Nobody will believe him.
That's right.
Nug, years ago, you're in Canada. You live in Canada.
Yes, sir.
You are a Canadian citizen,
yes.
Resident. What,
yes.
What are you?
I am.
All of these things. Okay. Yes. So years ago, I was going into Canada on a Broadway tour. And I think I've told this story on the show maybe years and years ago.
What was the show? First of all, I need to know the show. This may play into it.
This show was, I believe it was Sweeney Todd.
Oh, very nice.
I believe it was the Broadway show Sweeney Todd, where the main character is killing people, and the other main character is baking these people's body into meat pies, and then they sell them, and it's in London. They sell the meat pies, and they go from having the worst meat pies in London to being the most popular meat pie shop in all of London once they start
Delicious.
Putting people into the meat
and
pies.
And this is yeah. what they sing yeah. about.
Yes, every single song is about, like, let's put some people in the pies and we're going to eat them and it's going to taste real good. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're going into Canada. I forget where. I want to say we were going in near Toronto.
Okay.
I want to say we were going just the New York crossing right there.
Niagara Falls, likely, or Fort Erie, one of those.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. And we had a bus, and on the bus that I was on, it was the crew head bus. So it was just maybe six of us on this full bus and everything. It had the beds and the living rooms and everything built onto the bus. But the company would keep the bus well stocked with alcohol. So between the six people on this bus, there were probably 35 bottles of hard liquor and probably, you know, 3-4 cases of different beers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of booze on the bus. So we're crossing the border at like 3-4 in the morning. And so they had said, we've got all your passports, all the visas, you know, all that stuff has been taken care of. Don't worry about it. We probably won't even have to wake you guys up when we cross the border. No problem. So of course they had to wake us up when we crossed the border. And it's like January, February. It's not a time of year that you want to be outside in Canada. So the Border Patrol people get on, you know, the Canadian Border Patrol people, they get on the bus. They want to do a walkthrough of the bus. So first they have to, like, everybody get dressed. Border Patrol is coming on. They come on. They open the first cabinet that they get to just peek inside that cabinet, and it's filled with booze.
Right.
And they go, oh, we got some booze here. Yep. They open the second cabinet. It's also filled with booze. They open the third cabinet. It's also filled with booze. They go, oh, we need everybody to get off the bus. And so now we walk outside, and I'm like, I'm not even putting pants on. I'm standing there in my boxer shorts. And so we all walk outside, and then they have us standing there, and I'm on one end of this little mini lineup of people, of Broadway show folk that, you know, they have us all standing outside now. And they come outside. One of the guys comes outside. Do you call them all Mounties? Could they all be Mounties?
No, this will be Border Patrol. This will be no Mounties. We don't have a lot of Mounties in Ontario. There's a lot out east and out west, but not centrally here.
Oh, that's too bad. I want everybody that has any authority in Canada to be a Mountie.
Post a Mountie.
That's another wrestler. That's another wrestler.
Another guy
time.
Had a second gimmick, a second job.
He was working in that same time. He fought the Boss Man.
He did.
There was just a Canadian wrestler called the Mountie.
Yeah, and the gimmick. Joe. Yeah, the gimmick was he always gets his man, so it was a wink and a nod, like, I'm kind of secretly gay, ha-ha. and so that was
And he had a shock stick, a cattle prod.
Yes, he used the cattle prod on people. Yeah, that was his whole thing.
They would, he would touch people with it, and then over the camera you'd hear like very bad sound effects from the Frankenstein movie and the electricity.
Great. Oh no.
And they flip the people would flip out and shake and fall over the ground.
Oh, he's got he shocked him. He shocked him.
What is what's it doing to his nervous system?
So we're all standing out here in this line. And the border guy, he goes over to the first person that he sees in line, who happens to be the woman who runs our wardrobe department. And he walks up to her. Her name is Lacey. He walks over to Lacey, and he says, Miss, there is a large amount of alcohol on this bus. And now what they're concerned about is, like, bootlegging or something, which I didn't know that it was a problem with alcohol going into Canada.
So
I thought it was a problem with alcohol coming back out of Canada.
It's alcohol coming into Canada because alcohol in the States is far cheaper than it is here. And
I thought it was the other way around.
No. But
I've just been wrong about this my whole life.
The massive quantities, like think about the giant bottle you can get at Costco for $40.
I always think about that bottle, yes.
So whatever that bottle is for $40 at Costco, we can't buy it at Costco, and that bottle's like $100+ here.
Oh, okay. So that's what they were concerned about.
I would say probably. And,
he asks her, he says, Miss, who does this liquor belong to? And he's got his little form and he's ready to write something on there. And because, you know, he's not giving it any trouble.
No, he probably just wants a name, I'm putting a name on this. Someone just has to declare it. You'll be fine.
That's it. He wants to check a box and let everybody move along. That is definitely his goal. He's not being an asshole. He is not the asshole in this story at all.
Right.
And so she says, truthfully, her answer is, well, it belongs to all of us. And the company that we work for bought this alcohol, which is 100% true. None of us had bought any of it. We weren't even the people who had physically gone and purchased it. You know, it appeared on our bus. And any time that it started running low, we would say something to the company manager, and the company manager would make more appear on the bus.
So keeping the theme alive of the podcast so far, she was earnest in her answer.
That is correct. So, and she went to camp.
With all of you standing out there in your skivvies, that earnesty goes to camp.
Yeah. That's true. And so she's standing there, and she's trying to explain to this man who is doing his job, but it's cold. It is early in the morning or late at night, depending on what your point of view is on this. And she is sweet Lacey from Texas is just trying to very kindly explain to this man, well, you see, sir, all of this booze belongs to everybody on the bus. It's kind of communal booze that our company provides. And the guy just straight up says, look, I can't write it belongs to all of you on this form.
Right.
So I need to know who owns this booze. And she kind of looks at him blankly for a moment. He goes, well, sir, it belongs to all of us. It's all of our, you know, we all have access to it. And I guess the company bought it. And, you know, she starts giving the name of the company and everything. He's like, no, I can't write the name of the company on this form either. That's not how this works either. And so finally, because I want to get back in bed from the other end of the line, I go, it's my booze. It's all mine.
Yeah.
And you see this like glimmer of hope in the eyes of this man. And he goes, what? And he moves down to me, says, sir, all of that alcohol is yours. I say, yes, sir. That all of that alcohol is mine. Says there's a lot of alcohol in there. Yes, sir. It's 30 something bottles of booze. And a good bit of beer as well. I have a severe drinking problem. Well, are you going to be doing any driving while you're here in Canada? Said, oh, no, sir. We have this bus and we have the professional driver. I'm not allowed to drive the bus anyway. They won't let me. Believe me, I've tried. They won't let me drive the bus. He goes, well, if you're not going to be driving here, I suppose it's fine. I said, great. Can we go back to the bus now? He said, you sure can. And that's my interaction with the Canadian, not Mounties,
so,
with the border guards. I was like,
two things.
Write my name down. I don't care.
Two things coming into play there. First of all, yes, that guy 100% just wanted to, like, someone own up to this and I'll let you go.
Yes.
But also we said before, the booze coming back across the border, a lot of Canadians will take like an empty, like a Sprite bottle and buy a bottle of Sprite and fill it up with vodka and bring it back. Cause it's more expensive here than it is in the States. But also over the years, a lot of Americans have come across our border thinking that Canada is Vegas and they can do whatever the fuck they want. So they've ruined it for a lot of people. It's not. Trust me, it's not. But it's been ruined for a lot of Americans coming across the border because of some ignorant Americans going, well, I can do whatever the hell I want. And they're like, no, you can't. This is a different country.
I know they have a real issue with people drinking and driving. I know that's a real, not issue, but like it's a sticking point. So if you're trying to go into Canada on any kind of tourist visa or whatever, if you've got a DUI on your record,
they'll turn you around.
You've got problems.
I've got a friend who is a wonderful improviser, but a fantastic tech person, sound and lights for any show you might need to do. And he got signed up to do a friend's fringe show. And they were going to go down to in Florida, like in Tampa or whatever. They were going to do the fringe down there. And at the border, when they got there, the American Border Patrol was like, where are you going? And our friend was just like, oh, I'm going down. I'm doing a fringe play in Florida. We're driving down to do the thing. He's like, oh, do you get paid to do that? And of course, Gary's like, what? And then they're like, turn around. And they both had black marks for 5 years on their border because they were coming down to earn money without a visa.
A permit. Yeah.
And so then like 4 years of the 5 year thing, we were going across the border to Buffalo to watch a SmackDown taping. And we were at the border for an hour and a half because my buddy still had that black mark on his record.
Yeah. It's trying to convince the Border Patrol, like, no, I'm going down to watch the thing. I'm just going.
Meanwhile, we had wrestlers come up for our last show. Sammy Callahan, a hardcore wrestler, was coming up for our last show here in Toronto to wrestle for us. And he got stopped at the border. Of course, his briefcase, like his case is full of like fake barbed wire and like all these weapons. And he's like, I'm a wrestler. And they're like, pull over.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's at least driving. He's not trying to take this on a flight somewhere.
No. But that fake barbed wire, that'll do you wonders on a plane.
Yeah, I bet.
Is it metal?
I think it looks like it's metal.
It's rubber. Okay.
Rubber. Well, the brass knuckles that my friend uses, I was like, can I see those? It's just full poured rubber brass knuckles. Like they're nothing.
Just soft and squishy.
Yep. It's like getting hit with a pillow.
That's not like it's not that comfortable.
It's very
it's
comfortable.
So pleasant.
It's pleasant. That was the match. That was the match for Paul, where that guy Wes Barkley, love him, out of Ohio. He pulled out the brass knuckles to use against his opponent Space Monkey, who's exactly like you think he is. And then the ref got the knuckles from Wes and put them in his pocket and was admonishing Wes. And Space Monkey snuck behind the ref, took out the knuckles, wrapped the knuckles on his tail, wound up and bopped Wes in the head with the tail and won the match.
Fine.
It was fantastic.
Fine with all of it. And they say wrestling's fake.
Not at all. My favorite thing about Space Monkey Wrestling is that my commentator partner is like, that tail is a foreign object. That is a foreign object. And then I go, first of all, it's attached to the competitor's body. It's part of his body. Second of all, he's a local monkey. It's not foreign at all.
You got him. Ooh. Got him on both.
Two
got
counts. Him on both counts. Stay down.
Both counts. Forget it. Yeah. That's the thing, like with Danhausen bringing the teeth in.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like, it's not a foreign object. There's teeth in the ring.
It's not foreign. There's teeth in everybody's head. Some of the heads in this room.
All the competitors are using teeth during the match to a degree. Jeez. He's just using them a little bit more.
He can loosen them if he rams his head into around where the fans peek through. You can smash him into that.
Right. Jacob, did you have to put on any affectation of slovenly drunkard when you were telling the guy that 30 bottles of booze belonged to you and you had a terrible drinking problem?
Oh, I didn't have to, but I did.
Did you have to put on?
I insisted.
Did you have to put on a non-American accent, like full enunciations, no y'alls,
right?
Just speaking as plainly as I can, sir. The alcohol aboard the bus is mine.
Were you doing like? Oh. What's the guy's name? Foster Brooks. Were you doing Foster Brooks or who's the guy who played Arthur?
Oh, Dudley Moore?
I was just doing full Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
My dad, his favorite bit of trivia, my dad's favorite bit of trivia is that Foster Brooks was just acting the whole time. He wasn't really drunk. That's like my dad's favorite bit of trivia. And every time he runs in my, well, RJ City, every time my dad sees RJ, he knows RJ loves all the old references. And my dad will say, did you know Foster Brooks? He wasn't drunk at all. It was just an affectation. And RJ will just go, really? And then for weeks after, RJ will just randomly text me something like an article about Foster Brooks or a picture of Foster Brooks. And I was, and hey, then I will always send back, did you know he was sober the whole time? We're like, get out.
I got one to, for you to send to him, Nug.
I'm in.
Back when the MGM Grand first opened, the whole conceit was City of Entertainment, the history of our movies, all this kind of stuff. My friend was one of the live action lions from the Wizard of Oz because they had full costume characters going around. They also had animatronics. And in one of their bars, I shit you not, there was an animatronic Foster Brooks.
Do they still have it? We have to go.
He's been destroyed, but you can find him on YouTube. You can find animatronic Foster Brooks.
I am
on
writing
YouTube
this down
from the old MGM Grand in one of their bars. Yeah, there was an animatronic Foster Brooks Foster that would sit and do Foster Brooks routines at the bar.
That is
How did they destroy the animatronic Foster Brooks?
I imagine it's just one of those things, like with all the.
I mean, it's like a Terminator thing. You have to like superheat it, and then you're like. Yeah. Like,
well, Jacob, they
drop nitrogen.
They called Paul's electrician to come in and fix it.
Give me your boots and your motorcycle.
Just mid sentence.
I need your boots and your boots and your motorcycle.
Paul, did they call in your electrician to fix them? How many of Paul's electricians will it take to fix an animatronic Foster Brooks?
Nine.
That's right.
Well, you know what that electrician always says, lefty loosey, righty tighty.
We're going out on that. You can't top that. That's the end.
Oh, boy. I don't even know what to do with that. That is.
Just let it hang. Really just something. Let it hang there.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Let's see. We're about to move into a little jock versus nerd. Do we want to polish off the word game?
Yeah. We shall tally up our word game.
Tally
now.
Up the
yes.
word game. The game's over. Jacob, how many of the words on your list were said by either Paul or I?
I only got $2.
Okay.
I got $1 from each of you.
I want to hear the That's words good. We didn't say.
All right. The words you didn't say. No one said explode. I was hoping somebody would say explode as I was just talking about Foster getting dropped into the into the super heat and then dropped into the cold.
Terminator style.
No one said ballet, which Paul is always talking about ballet. True, I couldn't believe that he didn't mention ballet. And then my difficult one was conservation.
That's a toughie. Boy,
that is a tough
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no one got close to conservation.
But the ones you did get.
I got one from Nug. It's an easy one. Walk.
Yes.
Nug had to walk from the commentator desk up to the entrance.
And I said that without a prompt, so that's all yours.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then I got one from Paul. I got cycle.
Oh, very nice.
Was that motorcycle?
I got motorcycle.
I love it. Paul, how many of your words did we end up saying?
I also only got two.
I love it. Let's hear it. Let's see the ones we didn't say.
Nobody said hiccup. That's why I was trying to get from the drunk talk.
Oh, okay.
No one said braid. No surprise there. Braid's a rare word.
Yep.
And no one said snap.
No one said snap.
Oh, I'm always talking about snapping and everything. Yep.
I think I would have said it when I talked about watching that guy dislocate his ankle. You'd think I would have said snap, but I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then during the Bjork conversation, I was trying to get, when I was talking about the Bjork albums, I was trying to get, because one of her albums is called Debut. But Nug, you said debut anyway, as I was debuting debut.
Debut of your Bjork impression.
My Bjork impression. So that came up. And then Nug, also, I got you on Face with Babyface.
Oh, very nice.
Got you to say I was trying to get you to say heel and baby face.
Well, I sure did.
Excellent.
On my list, I have three.
Well, you are the expert.
Well, so yeah. this is the fun part. This is where your things are revealed, of course. Nobody said genuine, which was okay. I was hoping with all the earnest talk we would get
that's
to
close.
The word genuine.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
neither of us are very genuine people, no. So that makes sense.
And then with all the wrestling talk, I tried super hard to get somebody to say barrier, but it was talking about
that's
the fans peeking through,
yeah.
But I was trying to figure out smashing people on the barrier. So those are the two no one said. Jacob, freely of his own accord, talked about Sweeney Todd. My word was kill. And he talked about how in Sweeney Todd they kill people and turn them into pies. And then Paul, okay. I got two out of you.
Oh, boy.
Boy, I'm going to tell you one you're going to think is great. And then Jacob's going to fall out of his chair with another word that I got you to say.
All right.
The first one was Blade. I knew for sure Mahershala Ali was Blade.
You knew who it was.
So for sure I got
so
you to say
So you got
Blade.
Me to say Blade. Nice.
And then
okay.
in just the greatest serendipity of all, my other word was Bulb. And I think we all know where I got Paul to say Bulb.
Yep.
Where?
Early and often.
When did I say Bulb?
How many of your electricians...
Oh, I said light bulb.
Yeah. You said light bulb over and over again.
LED bulbs.
But
yep.
Even in the joke, even just in the yeah. joke, how many of your electricians just, and you were like, and I never finished it. You did.
Change the light bulb. You're right. And that was it.
There he goes.
He's a professional, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can make you say all sorts of shit. My favorite one,
done.
My favorite one ever was I got to, on one of the podcasts, I got to four with a guy. And I was like, it was the one where I got five. It was like, I got to four and went, I have to try and make him say the fifth.
Yeah.
And so he was a movie guy. And so I went into the conversation about like, oh, when I get a wrestling shirt, I like to get a shirt like the guy's first shirt so that you can see that okay. I was on board from day one.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I get that. And I'm like, now you're a movie guy. Do you go out there and get like a Tom Hanks, like an early Tom Hanks movie? And he goes, oh, like Joe versus the Volcano. And I go, yeah, yeah. And it was volcano was the word I needed him to say.
Perfect.
Perfect. Wow.
It's just, it's tricky. And then people get in their heads about it. Like, is this like my friend Ashley
yes.
just did it with me. And she's like, is he genuinely interested or like, does he honestly not know this? Or is mm-hmm. he tricking
right.
me into saying the word that he needs me to say?
It's a fun exercise.
I definitely fall into the camp of I kept forgetting we were doing it.
Yes, that's the best when you just do the conversation and go, oh, crap. Oh, no, I don't know. And that's luckily the thing I use to help me record lets me get a transcript. So if I do have to go back in the editing process, I can go through the transcript and find the words and go, oh, yes, it was said. So that helps.
That's good because I'm not going to do that.
No, God,
that's handy. We should talk post-show production meeting on that, whatever product that is. Does that also aid in creating subtitles?
Oh, I don't know, but it just makes a text file, so it might be able to import into a subtitle thing.
Yeah,
right. Because
which we can do that. We already have that, Paul.
We have the ability to do subtitles.
Yeah, not subtitles. We have the there's something that one of the people who helps us out uses.
Can turn it into text.
Can do a full transcript. Yeah,
yeah. But I'm saying, but. Then to then turn that into subtitles, because subtitled videos are far more
right
click friendly on YouTube and everywhere.
Right.
So that would be something to implement moving
because
forward.
Because most people can't hear.
Well, no, it's a matter of keeping your volume off.
I know.
And being able to
it's
take
just
in,
watching the video with the sound off, really.
Or, yeah. or people with hearing impairments that can truly enjoy it in a different way.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I would... Yeah, we need to production.
Do you guys leave the sound on your phones?
No.
Just in general?
My phone is
always
off.
When you said that guy's ringtone went off, and I was like, I haven't heard my phone ring. Remember when we used to buy ringtones?
Right.
Dude, yes. Well, or be even better yet, you'd record your own sound. That lasted for all of 2 minutes.
Right.
You were able to record your own sound. Then everybody went, wait, we can sell them that.
Yeah. I used to have the sound or ringers on, and like there's a toddler in the house. I don't need any more
mine
noise.
Used to be the startup right. for Pac-Man.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it was that I recorded that off of a video game, and
like I never turned the sound on my phone. I mean, like, you know, I might if I'm watching a video or something, I might turn the volume
but
up,
but that's what
but
I'm saying,
like the ringtone sound is never on my phone at all.
And
to the
this
degree
is a thing-
that the new iPhone doesn't have the switch anymore. You know, the iPhones, since the inception of the iPhones, they've had the little switch on the side
of
the phone.
Is that right? There's not a switch?
You can turn the phone on and, or you can turn the ringer on and off. The new one has a button in place of that switch, but the button is assignable. You can make that button do anything. So I have my button set that I hit that button, it brings up my camera.
Ah, smart.
And so I have to go into the settings thing
to turn it sound
like,
on.
I have to like pull the menu up to turn my ringer on and off, and I don't care because I never turn it on.
Right. Yeah, isn't that funny how far we went from personalized ringers to how gauche it is to ever hear a phone ring in
God,
public?
If you're in a crowded place and you hear somebody's phone ring, like even at a grocery store, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
what is wrong with you? What is
the only time I hear my ringtones at all is if I'm in my car. Because my Apple CarPlay thing,
it all patches in.
It rings through.
Sure,
you know it won't just vibrate. It'll still ring through. But
for the most part, my phone rings. But also, who calls anybody anymore?
How dare you?
Right,
right.
Why would you dare call me?
This could be a text.
This better be a super emergency.
Yeah, yeah. I got a FaceTime last
People
night.
People talk
from,
about that. I'm always a little happy if somebody calls me. Like, oh, somebody's calling me.
I got a FaceTime last night from Ryer and Brushwood and Jury wishing me luck on my upcoming surgery, which is happening in a couple days. And that was really sweet. But, like, that's the first incoming phone call that I've answered in months, you know, without because it's all just
He sends me
scams.
The voicemail.
It's all just scams.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Paul, was this a hint that Jacob and I should be wishing you well on your upcoming surgery? Did you drop this story so that we would say something?
Not at all. Not at all. No. I don't.
I don't know.
No, because we're not gonna.
Everything's lining up so far. So
well, I hope, and I hope your new hip lines up perfectly.
Boy, that's the key. That's going to be the trick. Yeah.
Yeah, as you're listening to this, Paul is going into surgery tomorrow to get a brand spanking new hip.
It was funny.
Or a brand new spanking hip, depending on where you want to spank him.
Talking to the surgeon a couple months ago, he was like, and I will do my best to keep your legs even. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But I already have, I mean, most people have one leg a little longer than the other.
Sure.
And so, this will be, I might lose an inch of height. Because if he has to even them up, this one's going to get a little bit shortened.
Now, Paul,
you're a tall guy, though. You can afford to lose a little bit.
Oh, my father, I'll still be 5'10".
My father has had a shoulder, an elbow, both hips, and both ankles done. And
whether he needed them or not.
And the ankles didn't work the first time, so he's had them both redone.
No.
But every time
and
he goes in.
That's a tough one, right?
It's the worst.
The ankle.
It's not even an ankle. Yeah. It's just a post. It's just like a rocker.
Oh.
He doesn't have an ankle anymore on either foot.
But
every time he goes in, I say, do something for yourself. Get them to put in Bluetooth or to make you a hotspot or something. Like, because they're putting tech, like,
spot.
Will you moving the rest of the bones in your body generate enough power to make you a hotspot? This is what I think the technology, we should all be our own internet hotspots.
Yeah, that's where it's going.
That should be.
Eventually.
Yeah. We're all going to be internet hotspots. That's where it's going.
That's nerd talk, Jacob. That's all nerd talk.
If Tesla hadn't been assassinated, that's where we'd be.
Oh, Tesla! We played Nug's game, now he's going to play our game. It's time for a little Jock versus Nerd.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Jock versus Nerd.
I got another point from Paul.
What?
Yeah, because
explode was one of my words. Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, well done, Jacob.
Fair enough.
I was like, I'm not saying it. Paul will say it. We got a scooperty coming at us today. The categories are, this is from Bearded Scoop 3. The categories are best Batman movie, movie monsters, movie taglines, and potpourri for fun.
Okay.
Nug is going to play for Matt today. Paul, you're up first. What you want?
Well, I'm going to have to go best Batman movie for 800.
Okay. I kind of like this one, Bob. Leave it. Joker says this to his henchman, Bob. The Joker stopped Bob from doing what?
He stopped Bob from defacing a painting and cutting it up.
Defacing a painting. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's see. It is destroying a painting. Figure with Meat by Francis Bacon, to be precise. I'm sorry, Paul, you did not say that it was a Figure with Meat by Francis Bacon.
We need an exact answer, Paul.
Sure. Yep. All right. Yeah.
No, you're up.
Oh, I will take, I'm going to do it. Best Batman movie, 600, please.
Okay. This company provided Batman his footwear 4 years after providing footwear with the Jumpman.
What is Nike?
Mm-hmm. Gotta be Nike. Batman's boots started as Air Trainer 3s. There you go. Sure, I'll do Batman movie for 400. How much does Vicky Vale tell Batman she weighs as they flee from the Joker's goons? Oh, I remember that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, though. I have to pass. Paul.
That's a tough
one. I remember that scene because he's got the grappling hook up there winch, and trying to pull him up.
And then he's like, you weigh a little bit more than what you said.
Right.
And she's like, whoa. She goes zipping up. I'll pass. I can't remember.
Doug, you know this one?
I'll go 110.
110? About 108, I think.
Boy, you were close. About 108. Doug. So close.
You what?
Dang it.
Yep. Sorry.
That's all right. It was close. Well,
I was going to say sorry to Nug, but really sorry, Matt.
Matt, you got it wrong. I'm sorry.
Yep. Paul, you're up.
I will close out the Batman movie, please.
For 200, this original Lando Calrissian actor played Harvey Dent pre-Two-Face disfiguration.
That is... Oh, why is his name escaping me? Lando Calrissian. Billy Dee Williams.
Cooler than the other side of the pillow. That's Billy Dee Williams.
That's right.
Nug, you're up.
I'll go movie taglines for 800, please.
Oh, let's see. The longer you wait, the harder it gets.
Son of a bitch. I am going to pass to Jacob.
Oh, let's see. That passes to me. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. It's obviously something about a penis. I'm going to say shaving Ryan's privates.
Oh.
The longer you wait, the harder it gets. Man, I don't even know what that could be about.
Is that failure to launch?
Oh, that could be. It might be failure to launch. That's right. I'll pass to you, Paul. You can guess that if you want.
I'm not going to guess it. I'll pass.
All right. Let's see. What is the 40-year-old virgin?
You're in the right neighborhood, Paul.
I was going to say you were on the right track.
In the zone, yeah.
Let's see. I'll try movie monsters for 200. This word means strange beast in Japanese and is commonly associated with giant movie monsters. It's that word.
It is that word.
Jacob gets it. He got it right.
Yeah.
It is
ding,
that
ding,
word.
Ding, thank you.
That word.
It is that word. What's He's that? Right.
Just keep buzzing in on Jeopardy. What is that word, Alex?
Correct. You know that word.
Exactly right on every one. You got every question right.
You ran that category.
Genius. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. It's kaiju. Kaiju.
Got it. You got it.
Yep.
Yes. It's like I've heard Paul say this word dozens of times.
Absolutely.
Paul, you're up.
I too will try movie monsters. I'll go for 400.
Okay. This movie monster was known as the eighth wonder of the world, not Andre the Giant this time.
I think that's Godzilla.
Oh, sure. Godzilla. Oh, no, it's King Kong. Oh,
King Kong.
Oh, that's right, because they introduced him as the eighth wonder of the world when they had him chained up on stage.
Yeah.
Poor Andre the Giant. He got compared to King Kong.
Yeah. Well, they're both big and hairy. No,
I'll go movie monster 600.
Anybody want Let's a see.
This action star was originally cast to play the Predator, but when compared to the ensemble's cast's height, it was deemed that he was too short. I just watched Predator two nights ago. It was a friend's birthday, and he had a bunch of people over and wanted to watch the original Predator movie. The best part was the half dozen or so people that were there that had never seen it before. It had to be explained to them like young acrobats and people like that. It had to be explained to them like, no, this movie is from the 80s. Some of the humor in it is not entirely acceptable today.
Completely unacceptable.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I have two different answers in my head for this, but I'm going to pass to Jacob.
Oh, I happen to know this. We just talked about it the other night. It is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Should have guessed it. Right. Damn it.
Jean-Claude Van Damme all day.
And now I've heard that it wasn't necessarily just his height. It was that he didn't want to do it because he wanted to be featured.
I've heard that as well.
Romantic lead and stuff. And that was his whole thing.
Well, yeah. I've heard that he didn't, the Predator outfit and the makeup and costume and everything. He didn't like that it obscured his face so much.
Right. And
I guess it was a different look than what Predator ended up looking like too. It wasn't the full on like four tooth, big wide four hinged mouth or whatever.
But there are,
I guess
there,
it looked a little different, but it was still a thing.
I heard there are some shots where it is Jean-Claude Van Damme in the Predator outfit in the movie.
That one where the Predator is doing that the splits as well. On chairs.
Maybe
that's probably it,
or maybe where he's just completely obscured in the
where he's invisible. That's Jean-Claude.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I think it's the shot where the Predator is walking into a waterfall fully nude, and you get a full butt shot. I think that's Jean-Claude's butt.
Yeah, Predator butt shot.
I'll close out movie monsters for 800. How many Godzilla movies have there been as of February 24 within two? There's a hint. It's more than 20, but less than 40. I have no idea. I know there is a fuck ton of them. Boy, there's Godzilla Minus One. There's a new Godzilla King Kong movie that I just saw a preview for the other day that looks like holy shit, like, I was watching this preview. I forget what movie I was. I saw a movie in theaters recently. I don't remember what it was now. The previews were on. And it was the new Dune movie. That's what it was. I went and saw the new Dune movie. And they had the previews on, and they were showing this preview of this new Godzilla King Kong movie. And I was like, this looks like they have gone crazy. This looks like everybody involved has just lost their fucking minds.
I hate those.
We'll see when it comes out.
American Kong Godzilla movies. They're so stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll love it when it comes out. I'm sure, like, I won't go to see it in the theater.
Did you see that last one where they went into the hollow earth and started flipping around in zero gravity?
Oh, it's stupid.
Oh, my God.
It's dumb. But there's already a giant lizard fighting a giant monkey, so I'm giving him a lot of grace as far as believability goes.
No, you got to do the movie where the giant lizard and the giant monkey team up for a buddy cop film.
That's what they're doing in this new one, I think.
I think that's what the new one is, yeah.
They're helping each other, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to pass on this one. It passes to Paul. What do you think, Paul?
I will pass as well. I think I got this one right before, but I can't.
So this is me
now? No, you got a guess on this?
If you got a guess.
What I love is there's so many, but I love this less than 40, and I don't think it's a lot less than 40. So.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's 38.
You're going to guess 38.
I got to get points on the board.
Oh, 33. More of Matt's points going away.
Matt.
Paul, you're up.
I'll try movie taglines for 6.
All right. His whole life was a million to one shot, 1976.
Oh, man.
I think I know this one. I think I just know this one.
Yeah. Well, I'll pass because I don't.
Yeah, I'll tell yours, no, Jacob. Passing to you, it's all
I
yours.
Believe that is Rocky. I think that is Rocky.
Right. You might be right.
It Rocky! Is!
Yep.
Wow.
Got it.
Nug!
Oh, you know what? Let's have some fun. Potpourri for fun for 800.
All right. This is the Orleans discount code for lodging at Scoop Fest 2024.
Oh, boy, do I ever not know this off by heart. I can pass to Jacob.
It passes to me. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me use my handy memory device. So it's Superman, Superman, Catwoman, Flash, everybody.
Yep.
23, penis. So it's Superman, Catwoman. So SCF. Or E. Superman, Catwoman, Flash.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. So SCFE23P.
That's it.
That's
there
it.
There you go.
By the way, that was completely real. That was absolutely how I had to go about remembering what that code is.
Well, you can see the wheels
turn.
That's why we made it
that code.
Yep. I have it written down somewhere, but I didn't look at my notes to see if
no,
it was
No, I can
down.
Vouch that Jacob was looking directly in the air.
Yep.
Straight up, trying to remember everything.
Let's see. I'll do a little. I'll stick with movie taglines. 400. It's a daily double.
Oh, here we go.
Daily doubles. Now it's for 2,200 points.
Oh, boy.
Anywhere, anyone, man is the warmest place to hide. The ultimate in alien terror. What?
Oh, boy. Whoa. Paul, do you know this?
Wait. Is this it?
Maybe.
This has got to be it, right?
I don't know.
Anywhere, anyone, man is the warmest place to hide. The Might ultimate be. In alien terror.
It could be. That's the right time.
Only way to find out is to guess.
Yeah, I gotta guess it. I don't have another guess. Doug, do you have another guess?
I do have another guess.
What's your guess before I reveal
the thing.
It? Oh, that's what I was. That's shit. That's what I was thinking of. Oh fuck, you're right. I said the wrong the movie. I said it with the clown movie. But I was thinking the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was picturing scenes from the thing when I said it. Fuck. Paul, you're up. That just shot all my points.
I will try right potpourri dick. For fun.
All right. Daily Double.
Oh, boy.
Bet it all, Paul.
I will.
This 1991 film has the distinction of having the longest English language title. This is for laughs, points to whomever picked this one.
Great.
Oh, so I guess Paul just gets points.
Oh.
Well, what do you think the film is, Paul?
91. Paul, 92 is your year, not 91.
Is it the Englishman who went up a hill and came down a mountain?
That's a great answer, Paul.
Sure, let's try it. No, it is.
oh, I
night
know that. I've
the
seen
day
this.
Of the dawn of the sun of the bride of the return of the revenge of the terror of the attack of the evil mutant hellbound flesh eating subhumanoid zombified living dead part two in shocking 2D.
What a title!
Have you seen this? I've seen this.
No.
Oh my god.
So what this is I saw this in college. This was Night of the Living Dead because infamously Romero did not retain the rights to that film.
They made a print of the movie and it was called Night of the Anubis, and they had the copyright number on the title slide, Night of the Anubis. And then when they took it to the production house of the movie company, they said, we can't call it that. You got to change the name. So they changed it to Night of the Living Dead, but didn't put the copyright number on it. And so that's why it's in every movie. You can put Night of the Living Dead in your movie for free, and nobody, you don't have to pay anybody, and nobody gets any money.
So that's what this movie was. It was a version of Night of the Living Dead with interspersed weird bikini clad biker chicks.
Perfect.
Okay.
It is the strength. It is the oddest thing. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I'll do it's your turn. Potpourri 600.
Let's see. What automotive magazine presents the blank of the year awards, car of the year, truck of the year, etc.?
I'm going to say, what is Auto Trend?
Oh, I would have said car and driver.
Oh, Motor Trend.
So close.
Motor Trend. Oh, that's Motor Trend Car of the Year.
Motor
that's right. Okay.
Trend. What's your price for flight?
Well, you know, this game was looking like it was going to have some high scores at one point.
But
now with two questions left, Nug has minus 1,200 and Paul and I are both tied at zero.
Let's do it, guys. So go, you guys can only go up from here.
Yep.
Only
I'm
going
to try potpourri for fun for 400. See if I can ice this game right now. This is the record high temperature for Las Vegas in Fahrenheit, please.
Mm.
Not even a range.
No.
I just have to nail it.
In Las Vegas.
That's
right. Tricky, well, though, because is it what they go by in the airport?
Yeah, I don't fucking know. I mean, I have to guess, so I'll guess 126 degrees.
Good guess.
117.
117.
Yeah. So that is like whatever the airport, whatever is, because I know it's been hotter than
Paul,
that.
Paul, you cannot answer this question and win the game.
That's true.
All right.
Movie taglines for 200, closing out the category and the game. If you only see one movie this year, you need to get out more often. 1988.
That's funny. I think that might be one of the airplane movies, but I'll pass.
You don't have to get it right to win, Paul.
Yeah, you can get it wrong and still lose, win.
You still win.
Oh, okay. Well, 88.
Uh-huh.
Wheels are turning.
Was that? That could be Airplane. I'll say Airplane was early. I'll say Airplane 2.
Okay, let's try it. Naked the Gun, Naked baby. Gun.
Naked Gun.
Right neighborhood, wrong movie.
Same production company.
That's right.
Zucker.
And that is the game. Paul wins with minus 200 points.
Yeah,
I'm in
victory.
Second with minus 400. And Nug is in third with minus 1,200. That
Matt,
is from
Matt
the
is
Bearded Scoop.
Matt
That's
is
true.
In third.
Well, Nug is in third, but Matt lost the points.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That is the game. That's from Bearded Scoop. If you want to send us a Scooperty or a Price is Scrite Jock versus Nerd or one of our new Obelisk Jock versus Nerds, head over to HeyScoops.com right there on the homepage. You can send us one of those beautiful things. You can send us some scoop mail. And also at HeyScoops.com, you can buy your tickets to come see us in May at Scoop Fest.
That I understand
Scoop
there's a
Fest.
Code.
It's happening. There is a code, and here it is right here.
Superman, Catwoman, Flash, everybody, 23, penis.
That is our Orleans discount code, SCFE23P. If you want to come stay at the beautiful Orleans Hotel here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, just when you call to make your reservation or when you go to the group reservation page, you just put that code in. It will get you discounts to stay at the Orleans. You can buy your tickets to Scoop Fest over at scoopfest.com, or you can click through over at heyscoops.com, and that'll get you to the same place. You can do all those things. Come see us in May in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Nug, any chance of getting you down to Vegas for May
it.
Scoop Fest?
Working on it real
fantastic.
Hard.
Come on down. It is a great time. We have so many wonderful things planned for this Scoop Fest.
Yep.
We have shows. The entire Fooler's Tour is going to be here. We're just going to do the Fooler's Tour live show one of the evenings here at Scoop Fest. It's going to be great. I don't know what else to say. If you haven't already bought your tickets to Scoop Fest, you ought to buy them because it is always such a good time. Come alone, come with friends, come with significant others. It doesn't matter. You will make fantastic friends and fantastic connections at Scoop Fest here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Come down and see us. And plus, I'm gonna say this now. I don't have a right to say this. I don't have a right to give this away. But if you come to Scoop Fest, you can finger Paul's new hip.
Well, all right. I guess fair
I mean,
is
that's,
fair.
That's not a
that
no.
Seems fair.
That's not a no.
That's right.
It's not a no. It's not a no.
Finger that hip, baby. Finger that hip. Nug, where can people find you?
People can find me on the Instagram at NugNarGang, and you can check out my podcast, $1 Words, available everywhere you get your podcasts. We've had fantastic guests like Mr. Colin Mockery and Will Sasso, plus a bunch of my Canadian entertainer friends as well. We even had magician Wes Barker, who actually fooled Penn and Teller on Fool Us.
Wow.
So we've had a bunch of different guests come on and try and get money out of me. I don't know. I got to keep track of how much money I've won and lost, but I think I'm up about $7 total over the
That's
whole course.
That's pretty good.
So I feel good.
You know, as we say in Vegas, up is up.
Up is mm-hmm. up, baby.
That's right. Well, thank you so much. Paul, everything good with you besides your hip? Anything you need to announce?
No, that's it. Except to say, everybody, I'm sorry I can't make it to the Eclipse event out in fabulous Austin, but my brother will be there. So shout out to everybody who's going to that event. And then just again, come on out to Scoop Fest, guys. Get those tickets. Get them now. Get them while they're hot. Treat yourself. It's going to be an awesome time. And I can't wait to see everybody.
Absolutely. It will be fantastic. If you haven't hit up the Patreon yet, head over to preachingfund.com. Preachingfund.com. That'll take you over to our Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help keep this show on the air. Yeah, that's it. There is no beating around the bush there. Patreon.com/HeyScoops or just preachingfund.com takes you to the same place for as little as $2 a month. Keep this show running. Keep us doing this thing that we like doing. At different levels, you get different things. You get things in the mail. You get discounts for Scoop Fest. So if you do any kind of Patreon support, you get a discount code that you can use to buy your tickets for Scoop Fest. You ought to do that. What else do you get for that? You get, the RSS feed. That's what I was trying to think of. You get the secret RSS feed, so you get ad-free versions of this show, and you also get all kinds of other fun things, such as Matt's behind-the-scenes Fool Us episodes, all of these wonderful things, all available at preachingfun.com. And, of course, thanks to Penn Jillette for creating this whole fucking show. Until next time, we love you, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Go check out Nug's show, where he tries to get people to say words.
It sounds like every other podcast when you say it like that, doesn't it?
I'll say words. And I'll try to get you to say words.
And we'll see
a good time will be had by all.
And there's money on the line.
Preaching Fun.
See ya.